God, today as I pray, I ask these things. Expand my prayer to have faith of a mustard seed on behalf of those in need. Expand my expectations to think outside the box with help for those who feel hopeless. Expand my heart to feel empathy towards people I never even thought to care about. Expand my reach to connect with the ones I thought were too far gone. Expand my vision to see the need in front of me that I am totally blind to. Expand my generosity to obey your prompting and give without hesitation. Expand my mercy to love without judgment or explanation. Expand my influence to inspire others to do the same. Expand my service to do more with less when needed. Expand my light to champion and love people of every color. And expand my mind to seek justice the way you desire, Father. All these things I ask, Lord, to expand your kingdom in my community. Amen.
Amen. Well, welcome to church. Would you stand with us if you are able and you want to? If you're joining us online, welcome. If you're here in the sanctuary, welcome as well. We're going to go over our vision statement as a church and as individuals because we do this every Sunday to be reminded of what we're here for. So, one of the main things that we want to embody as a church. So let's read it together. We desire to be a safe place, to be in process, a place where everyone realizes they are in process. None of us have arrived. Guys, we all have next steps to take. If you're new, this is not a place for perfect people. This is a place for broken people who are seeking after Jesus Christ, the perfect one. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray, and then we are going to worship because worship, or God is worthy of every song that we could ever sing, every word, every breath we could ever breathe. He is worthy of all of our praise, so we're going to give that to him this morning. So, Lord, we invite you here as always. As we sing, God, I pray that we would be changed from the inside out, that the encounter that we have with you this morning would lead us closer to you in a way that we leave this place changed, more loving, more peaceful, more full of your grace. So come into this place and inhabit our praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
life. So think a little louder.
Think a little louder.
Sing 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 a little louder.
We'll sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. You're gonna hear my praises roar, and up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. He's alive, he's alive. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you. And this next song, it's talking about there's a chapter in Revelations, chapter 5, and it has all the saints, everyone who has worshiped Jesus and accepted Jesus into their heart, worshiping, and there's an ocean of people that John sees. And then there's a scroll sitting up here with everyone's name in it, the Lamb's Book of Life, and they look around and there's no one, absolutely no one who is worthy to open that book. They can't read our names off because no one's worthy to open it. And then they said, look, the Lion of Judah is coming. And the Lion of Judah enters and he can open the scroll and read our names off. He is holy. He is worthy. As we sing this next song, have that picture in your mind. There's only one and we need to worship him.
All powers and positions. down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all. And find me here, Lord, as you draw me near. I'm desperate for you, I'm desperate for you. I surrender. Drench my soul, His mercy and grace unfold. I hunger and thirst. Jesus, breathe.
But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Did you know that one of the main things Jesus talked about was the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? What does that mean? The kingdom of God has come in your life when Jesus Christ rules and reigns in your heart. You know, I used to think spiritual growth was getting more of God. I now see it as God having more of me. Father God, we've come to just acknowledge that it's not about our kingdom. It's about your kingdom. God, help us to surrender our lives over to you. Surrender everything over to you. Show us the things in our lives that we're holding back. God, we've just come to surrender the world to you. We've come to surrender the illusion of control. God, help us to focus on controlling what we can control, and that is ourselves. And God, I just pray that for whatever time we have left on this earth, that we would be like a knight devoted to the King. We're here to build your kingdom and your righteousness. We love you, Lord. We ask this in your name. Would you please be seated in a spirit of prayer? So we had planned our regular prayer time that I usually put stuff up there, but we're going to deviate that from that a little bit. I woke up this morning and just all this came to me, so I just wrote it down. And we're just going to take a moment as a church and pray for the unrest in our state. So I'm going to just be praying some things, and then invite you to join along with me. Lord, we lift up the turmoil and unrest in Minnesota. Please be with us and help us. I lift up Governor Walz and President Trump, that you would put people of righteousness around them. Guide these leaders with wisdom, discernment, and commitment to do what is right and healing for our nation. Lord, for those who are struggling with fear and anxiety, those who need peace, I ask that you would comfort and be near as they look to you. Lord, we need your help. Proverbs says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. God, change our hearts individually and collectively to be fully surrendered to you in all of our ways. Lord, I thank you for voices in the church like Richard Mao, who have taught me that following Jesus means combining deep convictions with uncommon decency and civility. Help us to live out that today. Give us the eyes of Jesus Help us to see this cultural moment the way you do. Help us to see others as you would if you were in our shoes. Remind us of Hebrews 12:14. Make every effort to live at peace with everyone and to be holy, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Lord, your word teaches us to do all we can to live at peace with everyone. Help us to be kind and gentle at all times, reminding ourselves those are fruits of your spirit. So if we're not being kind and gentle as your children, we're not living the way you'd want us to. Help us to be like Jesus, who accepted people, even though he may not have condoned their lifestyle. Help us to see every person, even those who disagree with us or on other side of the issues. Help us to see them as the valuable humans they are, who are made in your image and are your divine works of art. When we're in conversations with others, especially those we disagree with, help us to see our sinfulness and their humanness, not the other way around. Help us to show uncommon decency at a time like this, to be civil Christians in an uncivil world. Lord, your word said, make every effort to live at peace with everyone and to be holy, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So, Lord, help us to be holy. Help us to form robust convictions that are based on your truth and your gospel, not the latest social media trend. Remind us that the ultimate goal of our lives is to glorify you in all we tweet and post and all of our conversations. Help us to be more concerned with your glory than winning an argument. Remind us that you are a listening God. You hear our conversations, you read our posts. So may we speak words of life and not death at this moment. Remind us of our dual citizenship, that we're citizens of earth and heaven. But as Christians, our primary citizenship is in heaven. So I pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Help us to be agents of your kingdom during this time and live by the higher standards of your kingdom. Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live at peace with everyone and to be holy, because without holiness no one will see the Lord. So help us as a church combine strong convictions with a civil spirit for your glory. Would you now join me in praying the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We're going to now watch the CCC News.
Good morning, CCC family, and is it cold outside? I'm your youth pastor, Pastor Owen, and I would just like to say, welcome to church. this is your first, second, or third time coming to CCC, you'll be handed a Connect card on your way into the service. If you could just fill that out and turn that back in, you'll not only be given a mug with some awesome gifts inside, but now we get the opportunity to reach out to you and get to know you. We're a very relational church, and we would just love the opportunity to get to know you because you are here on purpose, because God has a purpose for you. But let's get into the news. So coming up today, actually today, we will be having our annual member meeting. This will be at noon. This is where we're going to go over and celebrate all the wins of 2025, but also look forward to the rest of the year in 2026. So if you're a member, we would love to see you there. That's today at noon, our annual member meeting. Also coming up in February, we are having our baptisms. That's right. Baptism is such an incredible thing at our church. It's an amazing opportunity for you to publicly declare that Jesus has changed your life. If you've recently given your life to Christ or you've come back to your faith and you would like to be baptized, please go on our website. Please get signed up. We'll be having a class on the 15th as well as our service on the 22nd. So if that's you, if you want to get baptized, please get signed up. It's going to be awesome. Also, we have some incredible outreach opportunities coming up. One of ours is our missions trip to Baja, Mexico. This will be in June 6th through the 13th. You can also go on our website and get signed up. When we go to Baja, we just do such incredible work. We've built houses, we've built schools to just bless the people of Baja and give back to God's children. Also, we have a youth conference coming up. This will be for high school only this year. This is the Alive Conference back at New Hope Assembly of God in Urbandale, Iowa, the church where I grew up. This is on February 27th through March 1st. So if you are in high school, you're going to want to be there. It is absolutely incredible. It says in the book of Luke that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Let that be your prayer for 2026, that we would grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Love you guys. Let's have a great Sunday, but keep your eyes on the screen for this awesome, incredible, amazing video. Let's have a good Sunday.
Good morning, CCC family. My name is Weldon, and for the last 6 years, I have worked in CCC Kids, but starting February 11th, Wednesday night, I will be the new middle school director. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to do this and a blessing from God. I look forward to sharing the love of God, the love of Jesus, to all the wonderful youth, the families, and come down. If you're a youth and I've never met you, come down and say hi. I would like to get to know you before February 11th. And on February 11th, I will be sharing my testimony, how God brought the Watkins family to Minnesota.
Oh, I'm so excited about that. There are very few people I respect more than Weldon. And he's such a servant's heart. He is a second mile Christian. He's a great teacher. So I couldn't be happier with our new middle school director. So please make sure you say congratulations to him. Well, a couple weeks ago, we started our new series called The Four Keys to Mental Health. And if you have not yet received a book, there should be some left at the Welcome Center. And we're giving each family a free book. And one of the things we've talked a lot about in this series is that if you have a brain, you have mental health. Amen? All of us have mental health. If we have a body, we have physical health. If we have a brain, we have mental health. The question is not if you have mental health. The better question is, what is your current level of mental health? I've gone through seasons where my mental health is really low, other seasons like now where it's good. And the question is how do we deal with that? Now, one of the things that I talk about in the book is back in 2002, I found myself at one of the lowest points when it came to my mental health. And I began this search, this quest of learning principles and tools. And I read books and I talked to people and I interviewed people. And I was on this quest to find out how could I be a healthy pastor, an emotionally healthy pastor. And one day it hit me after doing all this research that everything that I had learned could be summarized in the chapter, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God or man. Let me re-say that. Everything I had learned could be kind of categorized in this verse. And in this verse, it talks about three ways that Jesus grew. Firstly, firstly, is that a word? First, he grew in wisdom, or mentally. The brain. Next, he grew physically in stature. Next, he grew spiritually, favor with God. And then relationally, favor with man. And here was my big aha moment. It's so simple, it's so basic, but it was so profound for me. That I began to realize that to be as healthy as I could be, I needed to incorporate all four of those keys in my program. And that's what I did. And last week, we talked about the first key. I know we got out of order there, but I went over the first key because I think it's the most important key, and that is spiritual key, or our relationship and connection with Jesus, getting our identity from him. So today, we're going to talk about the second key, which is the mental key. Now, how many of you ever noticed that our minds can give us a hard time? You ever notice that you're kind of like going throughout your day, and then all of a sudden a song starts to play, and it just distracts you, and you're kind of like, oh man, where was I in my sermon? How many of you can relate to that? Yeah? Or maybe you can relate to this. Maybe you're going throughout your day, and all of a sudden a thought comes into your mind, and it leads you into a downward spiral, and you end up in a dark place mentally. How many of you can relate to that? I think most of us, if we're honest. One of the most important things I've learned in my mental health journey is to manage my thoughts and to see myself as a thought manager. In fact, the Bible says whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about such things. Now, do you see there that God is telling us to be selective about what we're thinking about? Now, the indirect thing is that if we're to be thinking about these things, we're not to be thinking about these other things. Does that make sense? And one of the big breakthroughs in my life was when I began to see myself as a manager of my thoughts. So I still remember it. It was as clear as yesterday. Went up to visit a person, a family actually, in the hospital. That's a big part of being a pastor, is visiting people in the hospital. And I walked into the room, and the wife is on the bed. She's connected to all of these cords, and she is unconscious. And I start to talk to the husband, and he was telling me, I'm wrestling with fear. What would I do without her? He's like, I know I should have faith, but I keep catastrophizing. And then he said a sentence that always stuck with me. He said, my thoughts are taking me to a dark place. Can you relate? Are your thoughts taking you to a dark place? Are you catastrophizing? Are you good at making a molehill into a mountain? One of the biggest things that I've learned is that if I want to walk in victory in the Lord, I need to learn how to manage my thoughts. Now, here's a big thing I learned. We cannot control the thoughts that come into our mind, but we can control which ones we dwell upon. You can't always control the thoughts that come into your mind, but you can control the thoughts you dwell upon. So how do we become better thought managers? So I brought up this clipboard, and you know, when I think of a manager, I think of a clipboard, and they're out managing. And when we were in the process of starting this church, I worked as the manager of the men's warehouse at Apache Mall. How many of you have ever heard of the men's warehouse? I think it's still there, but I was the manager there when we were planting this church many, many years ago. And as a manager, one of the things that I did was I managed the inventory, and I managed what came in the store and what went out the store, and I managed the staff. And as I was doing this, one day it hit me, Steve, you're a thought manager. And how do you better manage your thoughts? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, this concept of being a manager of your mental health, a manager of your thoughts, is a metaphor that connects deeply with me. In fact, one of the titles that we were going to call the book was Managing Your Mental Health. But the publishers and I eventually settled on the four keys to mental health. So how do we become a wise manager of our thoughts. I want to share with you some ideas. Number one, understand the power of your thoughts. Now, do you grasp the power of your thoughts? You say, well, Steve, it's just a harmless thought. What's the big deal? Wrong. Our thoughts are incredibly powerful. In fact, one of the things that I've learned is that our thoughts are precursors to our feelings and our behavior. In fact, here's what it says. Our thoughts lead to our feelings, and our feelings lead to our behaviors. Our thoughts lead to our feelings, and our feelings lead to our behaviors. So if you want to change your behavior, you first start with renewing your mind by changing your thoughts. This should not surprise us. The Bible says, for as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. In fact, there's a book I recommend. It's called Telling Yourself the Truth. And in it, the authors, they're Christian authors, and they talk about how one of the things that we need to do is look for misbeliefs or lies in our mind and find those misbeliefs and replace it with the truth. And in that book, they write this powerful sentences. They write, your thoughts can change your biochemistry. That's right. What you're thinking right now can change the chemical composition of your brain cells and the rest of your central nervous system. That's incredible that the meditations of your mind can change the chemicals of your brain. The meditations of your mind can change the chemicals of your brain. Now, this should not surprise us because the Bible says, be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. Like a caterpillar becoming that butterfly, how do we transform? How do we grow and develop? By renewing our mind. So maybe you're out there today and you're like, okay, Steve, I grasp the power of my thoughts. And that's why Paul says, think about these things, not these things. But then you think, well, can Satan influence our thoughts? You're aware of evil. It's kind of hard to look at our world and not believe in evil. And you're like, but can Satan influence our thoughts? Yes, he can. In fact, I want you to think for a moment about Satan's job description. If he had a job description, what would it be? Here's what it would be. To tempt, to accuse, to oppose God's work, to bring suffering, to fight against the church, and deception. And I think his most powerful weapon is that last one, deception. That his greatest power is in the lie. In fact, he is called the father of lies. For you are the children of your father, the devil. And you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He's talking about Satan. He's always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it's consistent with his character. For he is a liar and the father of all lies. So when Satan is lying, he's speaking his mother tongue. Is it possible that some of us today are caught in a cobweb of his lies? You know, I think about when Jesus was telling the disciples, I'm going to be killed and then I'm going to be raised from the dead. And they're like, you know, we just said you're the Messiah and now you're saying you're going to be rejected and die. And that wasn't what they envisioned. And Peter said, never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Now, Peter's probably thinking to himself, I'm just protecting the Lord. But how did Jesus respond? He said, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, and you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Now, what's going on here? Is Jesus saying Peter is Satan? I mean, one minute he calls him the rock, the next minute he calls him Satan. What's going on here? No, Jesus is recognizing that Satan influenced Peter's thoughts. And are you aware that Satan can impact your thoughts? That's why the Bible says we need to take every thought captive. Why? It may be enemy thoughts. Now, you're going to get a kick out of this, but one of the things that I used to do was when I had a bad thought, I would envision going to the toilet and flushing it down the toilet. But it was a way of, hey, I'm going to get rid of this thought. But we need to take every thought captive. Why? They may the enemy thoughts. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And watch this, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, it's interesting that in this passage, Paul uses military terminology to talk about our battle with Satan and sin. And he reminds us that God is the commander in chief, and we need to submit our thoughts to him. And when we find ourselves in a place where our thoughts are not in alignment with God's word, we need to just pray, Lord, help me to redirect my thoughts and help me to focus on truth. Help me to think about what you're thinking about. Help me to think your thoughts after me. You know, I think about when Jesus was in the wilderness. It's interesting. It says the Spirit led Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And the devil might have thought to himself, you know, I got him. I mean, he's just fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He's weak, and I can imagine Jesus, his stomach is growling, and he's physically weak because of this long period of fasting. And Satan says, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. It's interesting, the Father just said, you're my son, and Satan comes, if you're the Son of God. Now let's pause for a moment. How did Jesus respond to this? Did he try to out-argue the devil? Did he try to outsmart the devil? No, here's what he said. He said, it is written, and then he quoted scripture. It is written, and then he quoted scripture. In other words, we need to combat Satan's lie with God's truth. And where do we find God's truth? In his word. Repeat after me. It is written. So in Ephesians 6, it talks about the armor of God, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And there's the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Now, all of those are defensive weapons, all right? But then we get to this weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And did you know that this is the only offensive weapon? Now, this is the Bible. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, is the sword of the Spirit. And one of the things that I found very interesting, it doesn't say it's your sword. Are you listening? Say amen. It's not your sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. So when you use the word of God, there's a power that goes with it. There's spiritual power that goes with it. And this is when Paul talked about this, he was likely thinking about a Roman gladius, which was a short sword used for close-range combat. And you were required to train and precision and discipline. And it's the same thing, training ourselves with the word of God, having Bible verses ready when Satan comes to tempt us. But let us remember, it's the sword of the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God uses the word of God to help us deal with these temptations and challenges. So how did Jesus respond to the lies of the devil? He said, what? It is written. And then he quoted scriptures. Okay, so you're out there and you're like, all right, so I believe in the power of our thoughts. I believe that Satan can influence our thoughts. But then you're like, it just seems like certain thought patterns just keep coming up in my mind. And what do I do with those? Well, in the book, I talk about the seven thought traps. And these are just thoughts that I think can be habitual when it comes to these life-draining thoughts. And the first one is a pessimistic forecast. How many of you remember Chicken Little? The sky is falling. Do you remember that? And we can have this like doom and gloom, negative prediction. The world is falling apart. Now, W.B. Yeats wrote a poem called The Second Coming, and in it he talked about the world falling apart. Let me read you this poem. Things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world, the blood-dimmed tide is loosened and everywhere, the ceremony of innocence is drowned, the best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. Now, does that sound like our world or what? When was it written? 1921. And when things appear to be falling apart, that's where we need to declare our trust in the sovereignty of God. Amen? It doesn't take God by surprise. God knows the future, and that's where we need to remind ourselves, according to Psalms 31:5, the future is in God's hands. Would you say that with me? The future is in God's hands. So do you fall into this negative prediction, this doom and gloom? Or do you have an attitude of faith, hope, and love? I mean, I've read the end of the book. It's good news. Now, the getting there might be difficult, but if you're a Christian, it's good news. Now, here's another thing. Undervaluating your resiliency in Christ. In other words, maybe you're going through a difficult time, or you think about the difficult times we're in, and you're like, I don't know if I have what it takes to get through this difficulty. And at times like that, I just want to encourage you to think about God's faithfulness in your past. The same God who got you through the difficult trials of yesterday can help you to get through the trials of today and tomorrow. In fact, Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." Now notice it says that God will give us a peace if we keep our mind on who? What does it say? On the Lord, right? And some of us, we're watching all this stuff out here. And I'm not saying we put our head in the sand, but we're watching all this stuff out here. We're being discipled by YouTube and social media and all this other stuff. And it's like, no, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's where our peace comes from, is keeping our eyes fixed on Christ. Next is a negative assessment, and that's when you can, you know, evaluate something in a negative light. How many of you ever had this happen, that maybe someone looks at you the wrong way, and you're like, ooh, they're upset with me, right? And it ruins your weekend. Then finally you just talk to them, and it had nothing to do with that, right? So I follow the principle, when in doubt, check it out. Talk to the person. Say, hey, my perception is that you're upset with me. Is that accurate? Now, here's another one. Brooding over. Now, how many of you have ever seen a cow chew its cud? It just kind of keeps chewing it over and over. And one of the things that we can do is called rumination. And this is when we mull over a negative thought. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We rehearse it and we think about it. And do you know what's happening is we're carving a path in our brain. It's kind of like we used to have this dog on the farm that would, my dad had a job at night, and it was just my mom and us three boys at home. And this dog, when dad was away at work, would walk around our house. He was a protector. He's like, Mr. Larson's not here. I got to be on guard duty. And he carved this path around the house. And it's the same thing. Some of us, we think about these thoughts all the time, and it carves a pathway in our brain, and we become stuck in that pathway. And that's why we need to move from rumination, because rumination is worry. Biblical meditation is worship. And biblical meditation is meditating on the goodness of God. Instead of focusing on the world's imperfections, we focus on the Lord's perfections. In fact, it says in Psalm 77:12, I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. I mean, when was the last time that you just focused on the goodness of God? Now, here's another thought trap, all or nothing thinking. This is when we think, well, a person is all bad or all good, or a situation is all bad or all good. Here's what I've discovered. Most people are not all good or all bad. They're a combination of a saint and a sinner just like me. And most situations are not all good or all bad. And we can, yes, we acknowledge the darkness, but we also look for the light. Here's another one, overgeneralization. This is when you apply a specific incident to all incidents. In other words, well, one person hurt me, so that means everyone's going to hurt me. No, one person hurt you, others may love you. Right? It's projecting what a certain situation onto all situations. And then here's the last one, personalizing. And this is when you interpret the actions or reactions of others as an indictment against you instead of it reflects them. Are you aware of that? That a person's reaction doesn't reflect on you, it reflects on that maybe your spouse left you. And you're thinking, well, it's because I was a lousy spouse. Wrong. It was their choice. Their behavior reflects them, not you. The Bible says, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. I am not going to give an account for your life. I'm going to give an account for my life. Are you guys following this? And that's so important to remember. So, what if you and I began to see ourselves as a thought manager? We can't always control the thoughts that come into our minds, but we can control the thoughts we dwell upon, the things we choose to put in our mind, and what we do with it. Now, on my little cheat sheet, I have a checklist, and it's called Name It, Test It, and Replace It. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do this week. How do we apply this lesson? Well, number one, name it. You can't change something if you're not aware of it. So be aware of what's occupying your mental real estate. Be aware of the thoughts that you're thinking and name it. I'm thinking the worst is going to happen. I'm thinking I can't handle this. I'm thinking God has left me. Name it. Next, test it. Is it true? Is it biblical? Does it align with God's word? Is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? And then finally, replace it. Follow the example of Jesus. It is written. And then you quote scripture. And that's why it's so important to memorize scripture. Maybe you're out there and you're thinking, I'm not going to make it. You say, God is my refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Maybe you're thinking, I can't handle this. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What would change if we began to see ourselves as a manager of our mind? In Luke 2:52, it says, and Jesus grew in wisdom, mentally, in stature, and in favor with God, in favor with man. Father God, there's so many things happening in our world that are out of our control. But one thing we do have control over is our mind. Lord, help us to focus on changing what we can control and releasing into your hands the things we can't control. God, I pray that you'd help us to intentionally put nutritious thoughts in our mind from your word, from good books. Help us to be on guard against the toxic thoughts, the poisonous thoughts of the world. Show us even right now, maybe there's something we're watching that is poisoning our mind. Thank you that, Lord, with you there's new starts and fresh beginnings. God, help us to be a thought manager. Lord, we can't control the thoughts that come into our mind, but we can control what we dwell upon. And help us to dwell upon not the world's imperfections, but your perfections, that you are all-powerful, that you are all-knowing, you're ever-present, you're immutable. Help us to be people of faith, hope, and love, even when things don't appear to be going well on the outside. Oh God, help us to manage our minds. Help us to be aware when these thought traps try to trap us. Oh God, I just pray that your word says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God, I pray for a baptism of your Holy Spirit on our minds, even right now, just that a special touch of your spirit on our brains and could just do a supernatural miracle. And oh God, help us to just get rid of all the clutter right now, the voices, and help us to just hear your voice. Help us to keep our eyes. When Peter took his eyes off you and started to focus on the wind and the wave, he sunk. But God, help us to keep our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. We love you, Lord. We ask this in your name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. As we get ready to worship the Lord through our tithes and offerings, in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, it says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." Let us pray. Lord, teach us to be faithful with what we have right now, not waiting until we have more to be generous with. Help us to understand that generosity is a spiritual issue, not a money issue, and that faithfulness grows in small choices. We give you more of our hearts today, trusting that when you have more of us, generosity will naturally follow. We love you, Lord. We ask this in your name. And everyone said, amen. So the ushers will come in a few moments to receive your tithes and offerings.
Fear the storm just because I hear it roar. I don't want to fear the storm. I don't want to fear the storm.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So there's this open chair on the stage. You say it doesn't look like it belongs there. That's the point. It's to get our attention. And it's to represent the open chairs in our church, the open chairs in heaven. And this year we're just focusing on the power of an invitation. Just think, just you loving someone and inviting them to church could literally change the trajectory of their life. So that's what we're challenging all of us to do this year, is just who's someone in our lives that we could invite. And you know what? The results is in God's hands, right? All we can do is give the invitation. But Lord, I just pray that you would make us aware of just someone in our life that we could invite. And God, help us to love them and care about them. And then I just pray that we could invite them, and that the chairs in heaven would be filled for your glory. Well, friend, we'll have friends up here to pray with you if you would like someone to pray with you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Let us remember to be a thought manager. Help us to remember that Satan can impact our thoughts. That's why we need to take every thought captive to make sure they aligned with Christ. Help us to be civil Christians in an uncivil world. And help us to see others the way Jesus would. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. Now may you go in the grace and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Have a great week.
Put my heart back again. together. I searched the world till my head hit her, just to find out your way's better. Oh, oh, your way's better. Oh, oh, your way's better. Oh, Lord, your way's better. Jesus, your way's better. Oh, oh, your way's better. Oh, oh, your way's better. Oh, oh, your way's better. It's better, better, better. It's better, better, better. It's better, better, better. It's better than the
into the atmosphere. Spirit of God, you're here. You have all authority. I pray over my heart and mind. I am healed by your stripes. Your blood declares that I am free. In the mighty name of Jesus.
I draw a permanent boundary line. The enemy has no rights to come near my family. No scheme could ever undo God's plans. No matter the circumstance, the cross has sealed my destiny. In the mighty name of
don't got no time just to sit and reminisce about how it could have been, or the time when I was in. Could you help me with the same old cycles I've been in? Father, here I am again. Could you make me new a thing? Cause I don't know why it's been so cold. My future's with you. So I'm standing on what you told, you told.
Just let it flow.
I'm his favorite. New up in the sun, I start my day in. Baptized in the river, it's where I'm laying. I done backstab, but the fire be where you're bailing. Funny, I'm guessing what you have made it. No time for stressing when I be praying. So I'm praying to the day ends. Father, let your glory come and rain in. Changed up, I switched the flow now. Shot right through the fire, I got no bounds. Yeah, they didn't see the kid, but they know now. Made it through the heat of the week, but I don't know why it's been so cold. My future's with you, so I'm standing on what you told, you told.
Just let it flow.
Watch these dead things bloom. is one on the throne. Jesus.